Did Jackie just come in and go?
Yeah.
And took Jeff with her.
Jeff just got spirited away. Okay. He'll be back in a few minutes. Can we just continue the conversation?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think what I want to say agrees with what Owen was saying, but I'm not sure, because there's this really beautiful phrase, Bibi, that you used yesterday, the tone of the day. Mm-hmm. And that in documenting your process, making sure that somehow the tone of the day entered into the documentation, because it couldn't not be part of what ultimately got made. So in that way, it is not subtext, or in that way, it is greater than subtext and also not something separate from. So another thing that the artists were talking about yesterday, which I thought was really interesting, was that this opportunity to provide some kind of individual storytelling via their own documented material, not as a control mechanism at all, but as a way to differentiate from and between objects and ideas that they found more or less important in the making. And I just, I think that's an important thing to consider, that if they're going to make a differentiation in how they create something, oughtn't we consider that differentiation when we archive it or when we document it in some way, which may go to your point, Owen, about volume control.
And I'm just thinking of Ames specifically saying, like, well, maybe that takes a form of a prequel to somebody's reading of an archive. It's like, go in it this way, this is what I'd like you to consider, or is that just kind of different markings that happen, or chapter headings, but a way in that is that has some flavor to support your direction.
And that's a different way of looking at archives. Tend to be very linear.
Right.
You go into an archive, you do this, you look at this, and this. That's a different, more dynamic way of looking. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a conversation.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that was one of the other things that came up was then, are we always clear about whom an archive is built? And if we're not clear, should we be clear each time we as a community endeavor, as an arts community endeavor to do it? Because the thing that you make for a dance scholar may not be the same thing that you make for an accidental tourist, mm-hmm. which is not the same thing that you're going to make for a generative artist.
Yeah.
And at the risk of excluding any of those populations, what's to be done? So I think this idea of a dynamic, interactive was something that is something that is very compelling to artists who are currently making work, and that's the conversation we're having inside of CCR. How do we enable an object that serves a documentary purpose and also a purpose that informs the making of future art practice?
I just want to give an example. This goes back to what Anne was talking about earlier with the booth. One of the things that was developed at UCI by John Crawford was something called Z Dance, and it's installed as a permanent installation in San Francisco. And what it is it's the active space work, but it also has several dance choreographers in specialty areas, Indian dance and different things that are in the culture. And each one of those choreographers came in, talked about their work. And they were videotaped. And then there's a slight history that they wrote about, and it's all in this kiosk. And so a person, the accidental tourist, comes into the lobby, comes into this booth, and goes inside, and they, press a button, and they can get that choreographer's material, and there's a written description under it. And at some point, the person can then record themselves. And so at whatever point they want to, and they can look at the whole library first. And then when they record themselves, they can be in the booth, they can dance, they can do whatever. And that material gets recorded in addition to the original. So the booth becomes this choreographic archive right then and there of the accidental tourist in relationship to the original piece. And so that just got installed recently. And it went through a year of prototyping at a children's museum, because there were like thousands of children that were the real testers for this kind of thing. Would it be destroyed, right? So, but at any rate, some things like that, I think, that are immersive environments where you can take sort of a group, or I don't know how big this thing can eventually be, but the idea is for it to be networked nationally, so that there'll be lots of Z dances in different communities that get networked together, and has a historical base and also a creative component to it.
Yeah, I was going to say that one of the things that really struck me yesterday was Ishmael Houston Jones talking about recreating a dance, reconstructing a dance where it was mostly improvisational with directions, and how do you do that, you know, in 2010, especially when it was created in 1985 and all the things that was going on in the society at the time was informing it, especially one of the points of it was about AIDS, and how do you tell your dancers who were not even born then, what, you know, and I was like really struck by that, you know, that social history is an important context for the dance piece. And the other thing in terms of archives being linear, I mean, I tend to think of them as being interactive and that they always have been, even before there was an internet, that, you know, if you wanted to look at a photograph, a program, a manuscript, and a video on a piece, you know, you're reading the manuscript, you think, oh my gosh, I would really like to look at a photograph, then you call in the photographs. You know, it's a little slower than a digital archive, but it's still all the materials in the same place that you can go to when you see, you know, when you make the link. It's not a link made by a digital archive. It's a link that you're making by the item that calls you to the next thing, and then you can look in the catalog and find the next thing. So that's my two cents.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. I was just about to show Karen a performance I did in August, and then all of a sudden I went, huh, I wonder if this is a typical genre or not. I didn't even know. But basically, I did an oral history at the off-the-cuff concert of my work with Irmgard Bartenieff and Bonnie Bainbridge-Cohen. And I wondered how many dancers are doing that, just talking and dancing about their work with other dancers.
Outside of a classroom?
Like in the performance venue.
Yeah. I
haven't seen it yet.
But. Who's that?
Yeah.
Ralph does it in his piece. Yeah.
Ralph Lemon?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To some extent, I haven't seen the work yet.
Also as a type of pedagogy to get people to talk their history and possibly perform it.
Yeah.
As appropriate.
In the space where they're performing?
Well, the people I was speaking to, one is dead and the other was not present. However, it just so happened that the person that introduced me to both was an audience member. Mm-hmm. So I did acknowledge her in the performance.
Are any of you?